Okay, and as I mentioned, this is the Orville Area Democratic Club with Marlene Del Rosario and Bill Bynum. So stick around and maybe tell somebody if you hear something you're interested in that we're here on 91.1 FM in case they would like to know what's going on. So I don't know which of you critters wants to open up. My question is, how long you guys been around? And more than that, the real thing is why, what the issues are that you folks are interested in, and whatever else you want to say, either biographically or locally, about Orville area, because that's what you represent. So whoever wants to go, we're at it. Marlene?
Bill Bynum and I got together about a year and a half ago. I was working with the Orville for Obama committee, and I was running a phone bank out of my home, and Bill was one of the people who volunteered to come to my home and make telephone calls to Colorado and Nevada. Marcia Tureno was the person in charge of that, and so she kind of brought us together. We've been working together for the past year and a half. We've covered a lot of ground. I work every Saturday at the farmers market, and Bill is there with me, and we register voters and bring forward issues that are important, we think, to the community and to the state and to the nation.
Yeah, that was one of my questions right off, although I don't want Bill to get his a word in, and that is that a lot of times you think of the size of this country and you think of all the different things that need to be considered, and I don't think you can divide them into a political party or so. You kind of sometimes have things you need groups to pursue, things that are happening that you really feel like are important issues. And so we'll get into my, you know, it's not about me anyway, but we'll get into that a little bit later. So, Bill, welcome.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you. I think that's true. And since we sort of restarted the Democratic Party here in Orville, we've been having monthly meetings, and we're kind of doing what you're talking about. We look around our local community and sort of see which issues are pressing at the moment. And we invite speakers to come in, and then we try to engage our membership in the important issues of the day. We have over 200 on our email list, and typically we get 20, 30 members at these meetings. We started out back in June. We had Heidi Hall as a guest speaker. She's running for Congress next year. She's already declared. We had Chuck Greenwood come in, a local fella, talking about the fracking situation, and that has really come a long way. In fact, there's going to be an initiative in Butte County coming up in the next election. We're going to start helping collect signatures first of the year. We had Pastor Hall and Doris Ristine come in July and talk about the annexation of Southside into the city of Orville. We think that's important. We feel like they've been kind of disenfranchised, and we'd like to help move that along. We've had speakers come in, talk about the Affordable Care Act. We've had recently Celia Hirschman come in and talk to our membership about the Cal Water, the rate increases coming up. We think that's really important. I know it's happening in Chico, the same type of thing, but it's definitely an Orville issue, and that's kind of our main focus, is what we can do to help the community of Orville just become a better place to live.
Yeah, I'm getting the impression, which is what I hope to get, that you're dealing with things of concern, and somebody doesn't have to come in with a badge saying I this and I that. They just have to come in and be interested, be supportive, and maybe some people, is it possible someone could ever come in and maybe modify your stances sometimes because you look at it and you say, gee, I never thought of that, or we should include that. It seems like a complex thing when you're dealing with.
Well, I don't think anyone can ever say that the Democrats aren't open-minded and listening to all sides of an issue here. We're very concerned about getting the stigma that seems to go with political parties, that they're embedded on one side or the other. We have people that don't agree with us that go to our meetings who have other issues that they're interested in. What we try to do is we try to find out what issue a person is interested in and get them onto a committee. And then that committee reports back to the membership about what they've accomplished and what they've done. We have committees on dioxin, and I don't know if you're a committee on dioxin, and I don't know if you're familiar with the signs that have gone up.
Yes, I've seen a billboard coming in. I came in off Washington Avenue, right around the little turnaround there.
Right.
And I thought, wow, somebody's really thinking out there.
And it's important that that be cleaned up. And we haven't found anyone on the side of not cleaning that up.
Right.
But Leslie Kuykendall is the chair of that committee. And they've got a moratorium on the before the Board of Supervisors right now. And as Bill said, we're going to be gathering signatures to try to get that passed through the state.
Seems like a lot of big hurdles, and I wonder if either of you ever feel that it's too discouraging to even keep going. I mean, like, why bother? No, you know why, but does your bothering accomplish what you want it to accomplish?
I want to backtrack just a minute. It's not dioxin that we have the moratorium on. I apologize. It's the fracking that we have the moratorium.
Yes.
But we're working with BEC,
on
the Butte Environmental Council, on the dioxin issue.
Yeah.
And we're trying to get information out to people to educate them to know how to handle living in an area that is contaminated with dioxin, and then possibly get monies or a grant to get that cleaned up.
I suppose there's no way that those that created it, since it wasn't it a point source? Wasn't it from a certain area, like a wood preservative plant or something?
Well, yes, but the biggest source was the poppies plant. Which was supposed to burn industrial waste, and they clean industrial waste, but they started bringing in dirty waste that had things like plastics and fiberglass and treated wood in it, and that then contaminated the area with the dioxin.
So then I guess they don't find these people responsible enough for.
Well, there is a lawsuit right now that our district attorney has brought forward, and it's my understanding that there's going to be a settlement and there will be monies. We don't know if that money is going to be used locally for cleanup. We're hoping that it will be. District Attorney Ramsey has worked very hard on this issue, and we've really appreciated what he's done.
Yeah, it sounds like a difficult thing, even with the money, to once something's around, to get rid of it. I guess you dig a hole and bury it. I wouldn't even know how they'd approach it. It seems like it would be tricky, but I'm really encouraged to see that for two reasons. One, your particular problem, our particular problem, and two, to alert people, because things do happen. And if they're alert and they've heard of another process, or they see something that they're concerned about that might be affecting a lot of people in an environment, then this is a way for them to say, ah, those people in Orville, I remember what they did. See, and then you're feeding into other people who can help the process.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's why at the latest meeting we had a few months ago, there were about 40 people there at the public library. We hosted it for Beck, and that's when we decided to form an education committee for the reasons you're talking about, and that's why the billboards are up. There's four of them up in Oroville. First of all, people need to be aware that there is a problem, and then we're having workshops and handing out pamphlets, and Leslie's taking control of that, but the idea then is to educate the local citizens, and if there is money coming in from the lawsuits, then that would be up to experts to decide how best to spend that to help alleviate it as much as they can.
Sure.
My understanding is that Coppers was a super fund that the federal government was trying to clean up, and I don't really know a lot about that, but I know those are daunting tasks to try to address those problems that took decades to be put into place.
Folks, just as a reminder, if you're wondering these voices, this is our town. It's KROV Oroville 91.1 FM Community Radio. And we have a couple of folks from the Oroville Area Democratic Club here today, Marlene Del Rosario and Bill Bynum. And here we go. We'll just keep going until you guys got nothing more to say.
Yeah, I'd like to mention a few tie-ins we have with the local community. We've done quite a bit with Southside, specifically with the Southside Vanguard. They're a new organization that's come up this year, and they are addressing a lot of important issues, not just the possibility of annexation, but their latest forum was on law enforcement, and they had, I would say, 60, 70 people attend the forum about a month ago, and D.A. Ramsey was there, and several police officers, and a lot of concerned citizens, and then following that forum, a few weeks later, we formed a standing committee to try to address problems in the community, whether it's perception problems or actual physical problems, so that we can try to help people out and let them know that they're being heard, and try not to let bad feelings fester and grow. And so I think Southside's really come a long way. I know they've also received some grant money for Martin Luther King Park to make that handicap accessible. And I know the African American Cultural Center in Southside, they've done a lot of good work, and they participate in the Southside Vanguard. So I see a lot of good things happening. And I'd also like to point out that the Hmong Cultural Center, they come to all of the meetings. They came to the Southside Forum. They come to the Democratic Club meetings, and we've participated in their New Year's festival. And Sing Yang has really gone out of his way to participate in whatever the activities were that we were a part of. And so I think this community is going in the right direction, and there are a lot of people involved in these various proceedings.
Yeah, my only aside on that is it's a shame sometimes that there almost have to be problems to get people to coalesce,
get involved,
because what a world if all they would have to do was say, well, what can we make better that we already have, instead of saying, what do we have to change or what do we have to prevent? But it's really, well, population, I guess population-wise, a lot of people would think of this as rural and nowhere USA, but there's a lot of people in this area and a lot of land, so it really needs a lot of stewardship.
I think the thing that Bill and I have worked the hardest on is voter registration. There are so many people in this area who don't vote. That's basically what our Saturday farmer's market booth is all about, is registering people. But you get a certain group of people that go to farmers markets, and you get that same group of people every week. So
yeah,
we're finding that we're going to have to go door to door in some of the areas. Probably in the Gridley and Biggs area, we're going to need to go door to door to get voters involved there. But between us, Bill and I have pretty much joined every group in Oroville. We belong to the NAACP. We're members of the Vanguard. We're involved in the Hmong community. We belong to the League of Women Voters. I do. DAC, which is the Chico Democratic Club. BEC, which is the Butte Environmental Council. The Sierra Club. And then we're both members of the Democratic Central Committee. And that's just a few that...
Yeah, so what do you do in your spare time, huh?
We go to radio stations and do interviews.
There you go. There you go.
I did want to talk a little bit about the Cal Water situation. I went up and spoke in front of the Oversight Committee in Redding. Anyone who is on Cal Water in this area pays at least double what people pay on other water companies here. It's a wonderful example of what privatization does. The company was privatized, and immediately the rates doubled. This year they asked for a 27% increase in our water rate. People are paying $200 a month for water. We attempted to, or Celia Hirschman, who's in charge of that committee, attempted to stop rate hikes by going to the commission. We found that we had entered too late, and so we have to wait for 3 years when they go again to ask for increases, and that's at that point we have to have our basic work done so that we can attack at that point to stop the increases. It's ridiculous for a person to pay $200 a month for their water, and next door the people are paying $30 a month because they're on a different water company.
How big an area does Cal Water cover? Is it a huge?
Incorporated city of Oroville and areas of Chico, and we pay more than Chico does for water because Chico has more users on the water.
Sure.
And so and they charge $30 a month just because you have a water meter. That's if you never turn your water on. And when you ask what do you do to deserve that type of rate, they say, well, we'll come and turn your water off anytime you want, which, I mean, I've never had my water turned off.
Yeah.
So it's not doing me a big favor. It's not doing the people on it a big favor. But the amount of revenue that is generated is making the stock market very happy. It's considered a very good investment on the stock market. So yeah, that's where our money is going.
Yeah, not very comforting, is it? Okay, Bill.
Yeah, we've also tried to stay engaged with the community, and in the past 6 months or so, we participated in the Trayvon Martin March back in July with the NAACP Southside. The Hmong community was represented. It was a community endeavor. We also went to Marysville, our club did, and joined in a protest there at a fracking meeting just to let the people inside know that there were another side to the argument. We organized the Climate Denier Award that we presented to Doug LaMoffa a couple of months ago because he repeatedly refuses to recognize the problems with climate change. And so we wanted to bring that into focus and challenge him to at least recognize this worldwide problem. We also participated in the Martin Luther King March in Southside for his anniversary, his 50th anniversary. And we went to Chico and participated in their Martin Luther King March. We just think it's important to be visible and to go out and support good causes. We attended Affordable Care Act town hall meeting, again put on by Doug LaMoffa and Jim Nelson, and we confronted their side of it because we felt they were being disingenuous and putting out false information, and there needed to be some pushback. So we also get out and deal with reality and deal with issues wherever those issues might come up. And so we're trying to be as active as we possibly can, and we're looking for any types of local issues that people are concerned about and feel like they need some support. We'll certainly lend a hand there.
What about some contact information? Let's say somebody wants to be involved. Are you listed in a phone book, or what kind of a deal do we have going on there?
Well, I'm going to give a phone number. It's area code 530-632-5744, where you can reach me. You can also go online and look under Oroville Democrats. You will find that we, through the Central Committee, have a website. And you can sign up. You can find out what events are coming up, when our meetings are. Our meetings are the second Thursday of the month at 6:30, and they've been at the public library.
Okay. I'm just copying some of this down, so I'll have it. And as I've said before, I wish there weren't a need for you folks doing what you're doing. It would be wonderful. But the world isn't that way, is it? There's too many things are happening that really need attention. And what better way than to have people in your area working together?
We're also, at this point, talking with this particular radio station about having a weekly program. We are going to start every other week, twice a month, and we're looking for a name for the program. So far, the one that we have liked is Oroville Speaking Out, because this has been an area where Democrats haven't been willing to raise their heads for some time, and we thought finally we're starting to speak out. So
I like that one very much. It says a lot. Mm-hmm. It tells people what's going on, and it doesn't restrict anyone.
No, and we're talking about the venue, the time, and the day, and we'll be listing that soon.
Okay, looking forward to that very much.
Celia Hirschman, who is a radio personality already, and Rochelle Parker, who is on another station in Chico, will be the moderators of that program. They both agreed to that. And Bill Gurn is going to be our engineer. Rochelle is actually in charge of the program, and I'm hoping that you will have her in and interview her.
Sure will.
Before our program goes on the air.
Okay, I'm writing notes here rapidly. Sure enough, yeah, Rochelle was a big part of Bird Street Media Project in our former life as KRBS on Bird Street. So that's good. It's good, and it's also interesting because she was attracted to that radio scene. And instead of being a volunteer, she actually probably gets paid a little bit for her work over in Chico. So it's right that people should get some reward that So they don't have to just do it as a hobby. And that's really good. So we're very excited about that. To me, if you just said the words community radio to someone who'd never heard of it, you would think it would be a radio station with the community involved in doing it. And that's what works. That's what works. So we're looking forward to her big time. And and whatever you call your program, we're counting on people being able to bring forth their issues and alert people to what's going on. I think a lot of times you get a lot more support just simply by letting people know. How are they going to feel about anything? How are they going to make a judgment? How are they going to get involved if they don't even know it exists? But your thing about water is kind of frightening, because there's threats to all the North State Water in terms of what they're planning with peripheral tunnels and so on. Exporting water, people just up here turning on a pump, letting the meter run, and then when the meter runs out, that's how much the taxpayers have to pay for the water that they've, in quotes, sold, and it's not really, it's everybody's water. Well, don't get me started, but I look forward to your enthusiasm and your skills.
Yeah, well, mentioning that water, that's one of the reasons Marlene and I are on the steering committee for the fracking moratorium, because this aquifer that we have underneath us covers about four counties, and our concern is with hydraulic fracturing, that water could become contaminated, and it is our number one resource in this area, and we don't see the benefit of risking anything with our water so that an oil company can make some profit somewhere else. We would really like to have a moratorium in this county. And with the water going south, like you say, I think a lot of that water is wanted down there for fracking, because the Monterey aquifer down there is one of the, or the Shell reserves, one of the largest in the United States, and the oil companies would like to frack that down there and use our water from up here to do it. And so we're really trying to protect that precious natural resource. So
could you say a word, Bill, about what it really is? I mean, we hear the term fracking, which comes from, I guess, the word fracturing.
Yes.
Could you just elaborate a little bit for someone who's heard it or has never heard it that might want to know what it's all about?
Yeah, well, hydraulic fracturing is a method of getting to oil and gas that conventional methods could not get to. So they actually have to fracture the rocks. And in order to fracture the rocks, they have to use high pressure and millions of gallons of water to accomplish that. And with contaminants, yeah, they put some poisonous chemicals to help in the process. And so when they inject all that water, which is once they use it, it can never be used again, then they have to find a place to store that water in old wells. And when they shoot that those contaminants down under high pressure, they try to contain it with cement casings. And studies have shown that those cement casings, like about 7% fail immediately, but 20-30% fail in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. And so what we're afraid of is that, well, maybe the next generation is going to be paying for our excesses, and just for quick profits to get the oil and gas they couldn't get the first time around, we're endangering our number one resource. And so it's a real concern with a lot of people in Butte County.
Yeah, I can see that. It puts me to the mind. I don't know what's changed, but you couldn't turn on the news without hearing something about the big BP oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. Of course, now that's history. It isn't history. It didn't go anywhere. Nobody ate it or drank it or took it up. So a lot of critters are living with that down there. So this is a very, very good point that it's seems to me You have to do some prevention because cleanup isn't going to work.
And there's a million to one ratio. That's what they call it. And that is that 1 gallon of fracking water, wastewater, can contaminate 1 million gallons of aquifer water.
Yeah.
And that can't be purified again. We can't run that through
right.
our local purifier.
Gotcha.
And clean it.
Nor can we manufacture it. Water. We've got to use what we have.
And the amount of drinkable water on this surface of the earth is very small, and in the aquifers is very small. We have a larger amount of salt water, but we have very little pure water. And we need to maintain it, because when the water's gone, we're gone.
Right. Right. Something that's so common that so many people just take it for granted and ignore it because they always just turn to tap.
Yeah, and one of our big concerns is the secrecy involved with the fracking process. Some of our members have gone to the county office to find out how many wells are being fracked in Butte County right now, and there's no record. They're not regulated. And so it's a real concern of ours that you have something that could be so devastating that is we're basically in the dark about who's doing it and where they're doing it. And the concern is that all the oil, the old oil wells and gas wells in the county, they can go back and be fracked in order to extract even more. And once it's profitable enough, that's what the oil companies are going to do if they're not already doing it. And so we would like a moratorium until we can find out more about the process and who's doing it and how safe it is. So we're going to be working very soon on getting the petitions and getting that on the ballot.
You know, there's something I just noticed about what you said, Bill. You didn't say we're doing such and such in order to stop this, in order to never have it happen. You're open-minded enough. You're concerned enough, but you're open-minded enough to say, study, learn. You're not some radical person just suddenly saying, we can't do this, goodbye. You're actually leaving the door open for consideration and for expert. And that, to me, if you carry that spirit with whatever cause you may have, I see that as a very valuable asset, because it's very easy to be blinded and just not say, let's investigate. And I respect that in you and in your group, if that's your approach to issues. Alrighty, I thought I saw a potential comment coming here from the lady, and I can't describe the color of her blouse there, her sweater, but it's kind of pretty. It's kind of like a spring flower, kind of. Pastelli. Okay, well, here's Bill.
I'd like to comment real quick. In the paper today, Marlene and I were just reading it. This billionaire who had an initiative in the last election that passed. 39. Yeah, 39 that passed 60-40. He's proposing that we, state of California, tax the oil companies. In the article, it says we're the only state that does not tax the oil companies, their profits, when they come in and take oil out of California and make a profit off of it. And it's something like that that just makes me scratch my head, is they can threaten our environment and take our resources, the oil companies, and not pay the state a dime. And I just do not understand that at all. And the fact that our elected officials won't pass something like that because they accept so much money from big oil, so that the grassroots, the citizens, have to do it themselves through the initiative process. And I have to say, I'm a Democrat. Democrats control our state legislature. And they won't do it because they are taking all that money. So it's we know how the political world works, and if the politicians won't do the right thing, well, it's up to the citizens to do that. But I'm extremely disappointed in the state Democratic, maybe not the party, because the party did pass a resolution calling for a moratorium on fracking, but they couldn't get their own members to pass it in the legislature. And I think that just shows how big money gets what it wants, regardless of who's in power. I think that's a shame.
Yeah, I'm always impressed. The figures are so astronomical, the money that's spent, but there will be something on a ballot, and they'll do polls, and 75% of the people will be in favor of it. And then about 2 to 3 weeks before Election Day, suddenly all these advertisements come out, and people are terrified. And they say, oh, I'm against that. That doesn't sound right. And the whole thing is how much money they can throw at. It's really frightening. It's totally scary. Because, I don't know, it's just like...
That's what happened with the GMO initiative.
Yeah, GMOs were totally supported. And isn't it strange that you would have to go through such gymnastics to approve something that merely tells you what you're buying, when one of the biggest things that's ever been done in this country or any other was to require labeling so people will know what they're getting. And now, in order to know what you're getting, no, you don't dare do that for... I don't know what reason. So, yeah.
Well, the reasons they said was that it was going to cost so much money that it would increase our food bills. It was going to cost them so much money to relabel.
Yeah, sure.
It was going to.
Yeah. Is that it? I didn't hear that. I have to admit, I listen to radio. I don't have TV. But, oh, boy. So for the price of a little bit of ink, huh?
Yeah, right.
They can charge you.
Well, they convince people.
Yeah, well. Anyway, the world's full of things to keep you awake at night. I know that. I wish it weren't. But, well, anyway, that's my pitch for community radio. Here we are again on KROV. Mentioned that. It's 91.1 FM. This little station started in 2002 on Bird Street with 100 watts, and now we finally got some power. A transmitter up in Forbestown, so we can actually reach a few people, a lot more people, and right here is a good chance to remind people of our sister station with the call letters KRBSLP Oroville, which we used to be, and they're on Southside, and they've got that frequency, and they've got a transmitter, and I'm not sure their range, maybe 3 miles or more, so anybody that is interested in hearing some local radio, in addition to this, we're blessed with two community radio stations in this town. So don't forget our sister station, KRBSLP Oroville 107.1 FM. Okay, enough of that. Back to you folks. Whatever you have to say or you want to say, we're welcoming again Marlene Del Rosario and Bill Bynum from the Oroville Area Democratic Club. And as you get acquainted with it, as I am, you're not talking necessarily about political parties. What you're talking about is citizens who are concerned and interested and probably celebrating things in their community, and they're doing it as a group. And so that's my impression of what's happening.
I think that's accurate, and I appreciate that. We were just talking about GMOs at our last meeting. Excuse me. We had a local member, Mark Brackett, give a presentation on GMOs. And that's an issue he's been working on since 2003. He was passing petitions, initiatives out in 2003. So for a decade, Mark Brackett has been working on fighting GMOs, or at least trying to augment some of the damage that he feels that they are doing. And he was at our last meeting. At our last meeting, we also had Dave Garcia, who was Beck's Environmentalist of the Year this year, come and give us a presentation concerning fracking. And I joined Dave Garcia and Chuck Greenwood, members of our club, to speak to the Water Commission last month about the dangers of fracking. And they put us on the agenda for January. So in January... Our committee, the Butte County Citizen Action Network, we will make a presentation concerning fracking on the agenda to the Water Commission. Our hope is that they will see the dangers and back the moratorium. We would like to see the moratorium put on the ballot without having to go through the signature gathering process, but we feel confident we can gather the 7,000 signatures needed. We have literally hundreds of volunteers ready to do that. But if the Board of Supervisors will just put it on the ballot and let the citizens decide, that obviously would be our preference.
Seems to me it wouldn't be very difficult for them to do that. I realize they have a lot of measures that are presented to them and they can't do it all, but when you have something as vital as that, well, it's a test. It's a test for the Board of Supervisors, and I'm hoping they're going to pass the test. Save us a lot of time.
Yeah, we're really hopeful. And if I could, I just mention one or two more people who've spoken at our club recently. We had Forrest Harlan from Chico. He's president of the health initiative there, talking about the single-payer system, which we feel strongly would be better than the Affordable Care Act. And even though we feel the Affordable Care Act is better than what we had previous to that, eventually a single-payer system, I think, would be of the most benefit to the most people. And, again, that's something that would come back to our community and help people in our community. We had Frank Cooney, a member of our club, give a presentation on SB 117, which is about alternative cancer treatments. And he's been active in promoting something like that for a decade. And he's one of our members. So I wanted to mention that. We've had Mike McLaughlin come down from Paradise and address our club about the Walmart Superstore issue they faced up there in Paradise. And because we've also been opposed to a Superstore here in Oroville, we feel like bad for the community, drives out small businesses. We don't like the way they treat their workers, the fact that their workers have to be subsidized by the government. We feel that's a shame. And you spoke earlier, Lee, about do we ever get frustrated or feel daunted with all these issues? And Marlene and I've talked about that. And no, we don't get frustrated. We're used to being underdogs. We're used to uphill battles. And every once in a while you make some progress, you win one. But to me, you just meet the nicest people in the world as you join forces with different people, with different causes. They're all, for most part, they're out there because they're trying to improve people's lives, and they're just the nicest people in the world. So, I don't get discouraged. And the more the better. We welcome as many people as possible to join the Oroville Area Democratic Club. As I say, we have over 200 members on our email list, and we probably have 50 to 60 who come to meetings. But you don't have to come to the meetings. We will send you emails on minutes, agendas, updates, and activities. And one more thing, we had a square dance in October just for fun.
All right.
Just because we like having all those people. And we had 40 or 50 people show up at a ranch, and we had a square dance, and it was just a lot of fun. It wasn't a fundraiser. It was just for fun. And so I think it's just all about the people and getting together and for a common cause.
Appreciate that very much, Bill. That's I guess that helps people go a little bit further and stronger. Gives them a little break from constant anxiety about all the things they're trying to fix that aren't being fixed yet. And that's great. That's a great part of your personality of your organization. that you'll just say, all right, you guys. I'm sure nobody talked about political issues at that square dance, of course. They just were totally silent.
Actually, they didn't.
Oh, come on.
We didn't. They were not discussed.
Not even a couple people on the side of the dance floor, maybe?
No, we were having too much fun. I'm serious.
Okay.
There was no politics, no causes. Once again, I would like, in closure, to give out my phone number.
You bet.
Area code 530-632-5744, or you can reach us on Orville Democrats.
Okay, that sounds good. Any closing words from Bill? Nope. Big
Thank
grin.
You.
Yeah, I just really appreciate you letting us stop by and share a few things about our club. And my main message is come and join us. The more the merrier. And let's just keep working to make this city even better. It's a great little city, and whatever we can do to help out, that's what we're here to do. So, and if you have any issues that you feel you need help with, that you somebody's being treated unfairly or somebody could use some assistance, come to one of our meetings and bring it up, and you'll find people ready to help. But Lee, appreciate it.
Okay, thanks so much. This is what I call community radio. That's what it's for, folks from the community presenting whatever they have. And whether it be an issue they're interested in, whether it be a talent they want to share, information they want to give, or question they want to ask. And again, today we have had Marlene Del Rosario and Bill Bynum from the Oroville Area Democratic Club.